It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? It's a great and beautiful day. I'm glad that you've joined us to study the precious Word. We're in the book of Philippians. We're continuing the study. Philippians chapter 3. We'll be reading from the 7th through the 14th verse. Philippians chapter 3, verse 7 through 14. Please open your Bibles and follow along with me if you would, please. As you're opening your Bibles, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church, and we're located in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. I do invite you to study the precious Word of God with us today. I also invite you to come and join us in the study of the Word of God and the preaching of the Word of God. We have Sunday school on Sunday morning at 9:30 and church at 10:35. We have Bible study on Sunday evening at 7 o'clock. We have ladies' Bible study on Tuesday afternoon here at the church at 1 o'clock. We have Bible study again here at the church on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. And so we have Sunday morning, Sunday night, Tuesday afternoon, and Wednesday night here at the church. And then every first and third Monday night, we are in La Harpe at a Bible study in the nursing home there. And so you'd be welcome to join us there. We have a great and wonderful time every time we open the Word of God and study the precious Word of God. And then also every last Thursday of the month, we also are back in the La Harpe area in the homes, and we meet in different homes. And so we love studying the Word of God, and I would love to have you join us in the study of the Word of God. Now that you have opened your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3, verse 7, we'll read again from verse 7 to verse 14. And so I hope you have your Bibles open that you can follow along. But what things were gained to me, those I count loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let's go to the Lord in prayer after the reading of His sweet word. Father, I ask that you'll just guide and lead us as we study your word today. I ask that you will just touch the heart and take care of every need. You are a living God. You are my God. And I know that you are capable of taking care of every need. And so I ask today, Father, that you take care of my needs. I ask that you take care of the needs of the folks here at church. I ask that you take care of the needs of every listener of the radio today, that you will meet those needs. And we know, Father, how that you can do that, and that is if we turn ourselves to you, repent of our sin, and turn unto you. Now please, Lord, that you will touch the hearts, and that heart is listening, and that today they'll come to trust in you as their Savior, and they'll begin that sweet and wonderful walk of being a child of God and in service to you. Please, Lord, I just ask for your work today. I'm going to watch you work today. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. It's a wonderful book as we study this precious book of Philippians. And you know, as we look to the statement that Paul makes here in the 7th verse, Philippians chapter 3, verse 7, this is the Word of God. I believe every word of the Word of God. I believe it to be true and to be right, and to be followed. And as we study this precious word, for Paul here to say this statement, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. We have the list again in verse 5. He met with every Paul, prior to him being saved, could have walked into most any church and they would have been so happy to have him. He was one of those perfect members. He gave of his time faithfully. He filled every responsibility that there was to be filled properly, on time. He not only supported him with his time, but he also supported him with his money. And so we have a perfect member here, and yet we have a man that's lost, and he stands here in God's precious word, and by the leadership of the Holy Spirit has recorded this for us to let us know that all those things that were so important and of great strength and of great importance to everybody else, he counts all things loss for Christ Jesus. Because you see, he went from being religious to being saved. From being religious to being a Christian, a born-again believer. Now you can do the same thing today. You can go from being a church member, a pew warmer, a hard worker in the church, to one that knows Jesus personally. If you'll come today with a repentant heart and ask Jesus to save you. You must have a repentant heart. You must come with a broken heart before the Lord Jesus, because you see, you're a sinner and you're lost in your sin and you're dying in your sin. We are told, according to Romans, that the wages of sin is death. That cost is death. But we're also reminded in the rest of that verse, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You hear me state that verse so many times. I love the Word of God from cover to cover. But there are verses in this precious word that make it so clear concerning the need that each and every one of us have. And that's one of them. Can show us the way and the truth. And you can go to Romans chapter 3, verse 23. You can Romans chapter 6, verse 23. And you can go on to Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 13. Are some very sweet verses of Scripture that will help you understand that you're lost and you're dying in your sin and you need to be saved. And so I ask you today that you would look unto the Lord Jesus. And as you look unto him, he will show you your sinful condition, your sinful state, your lost state, and he will draw you unto him that you may be saved. You may be redeemed, have your sins taken away, and now become a child of God and walk in the presence and the power of the Lord Jesus. That's what Paul experienced. He was all and powerful and in great strength, great authority. He had everything that most people would love to have. And most churches would love to have. Most preachers would love to have members like that. And yet Paul looks back and says, it's all a waste. I count it all loss. There is nothing there that I see that I need. There's nothing there that I can count for gain, because everything is in Jesus. And now that I know Jesus, I can see that. I want you to see Jesus. I want you to come to know him, that you can see the way to walk and the power and the strength and real life for the first time. Oh, again, verse 7 here. But what things were gained to me, those I count lost for Christ. I hope that you come to Jesus today. Yea, doubtless I count all things but lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. He wants to be everything to the Lord Jesus. He wants to be Christ-like. And he is not working his way to salvation to win the opportunity to walk into the gates of heaven. But to win Christ to him is to win those sweet gifts, to win the praises of Jesus whenever we get there and we have done all we could do to name the name of Jesus, to bring the lost to salvation, to bring them to Jesus, and to do everything we can do to help them to grow. That is winning Christ. That's to walk every day in Jesus Christ. There's a word here that helps us to understand how Paul could make this statement, and that word in the middle of verse 8 is Lord. For the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. My master. You know, you can be sitting in your church and you can make a statement very easily in maybe a repetition of something that you say, a creed you say, or something you read in the front or the back of your hymn book in an opening or something like that. We say words like the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you better be careful, because when you say Lord in the statement of Lord Jesus Christ, you are saying that He is my master, and I am a servant to Him, and I am following Him, and I am serving Him. Now, when you say that, sitting in church, sitting at home, wherever you say those words, do you mean it? The next time you say the Lord Jesus Christ, have you placed Jesus in the proper position to make that statement? Is great, but I ask you that you mean it. That you put Him in the proper place, that He is the master of your life, that He rules your life. Now, if He does, that means that you are a child of God, because you cannot follow Jesus without coming to Jesus by faith and being saved. So first of all, you have to be saved. So if you're not saved, if you do not have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus, you have no right to call Him Lord, because He is not your master. The devil's your master. And you need to come to Jesus and change from being led by Satan, and your master being Satan. Oh, say, Larry, I attend church all the time. I don't believe in that personal relationship with Jesus that you're talking about, but I'm a Christian. No, you're not. You must come to Jesus. You must be saved, and you must come by faith, recognize your sin, and ask Jesus into your heart, and that's a day you'll never forget. And I want you to come to Jesus today. And I want you to be able to begin to call Him Lord, because you're beginning this walk and you look to Him as your God and your master of your life. And then you can begin that sweet walk. But first of all, Paul could call Him Lord because he lived as if He was Lord, and Him being Lord of his life. He listened and he followed to the leadership of the Holy Spirit, and he followed after the Lord Jesus. Now, as you look to the Word of God and study the Word of God, you can't call Him Lord if you don't study your Bible. I know a lot of people that do a lot of studying, but they don't study the Bible. They don't search the Word of God. And I mean search it with great diligence. To go page by page, verse by verse, and look up those precious verses, and let the Holy Spirit teach you God's way. If you don't open your Bible, if you don't study your Bible, if you just listen to your preacher, or if you read your Sunday school quarterly, if you read the daily devotion that you have, but you never get around to searching the Word, reading the Word of God to follow it up, then, my friend, you be careful. You be very careful when you begin to use that word Lord, because you don't know Jesus. And you're not taking time out of your busy schedule to get to know Him either. So I'm asking you today that you begin that walk. That first of all, you examine down deep in your heart and know that you're a child of God, born again, come by faith to Jesus and trusted in that precious, sweet blood of Jesus, that you can be saved. Meet Him at the cross of Calvary, where He offered His life for yours, paid it in full, and all you got to do is come and accept that free gift. Now, I ask that you do that today, and you'll start this sweet walk of knowing Jesus personally. And I want you to do that. I want you to begin this sweet walk and walk after Jesus day after day and get to know Him. But it's a daily walk. It's not a one-time deal. It's not to get down on your hands and knees and ask Jesus into your heart and then jump up and say, okay, I did that, that's it. It's not that at all. That's the beginning of it. But if it didn't mean any more to you than that, then you never trusted in Jesus. You said some words because some preacher or some parent or somebody asked you to say those words, but you don't believe it in your heart. Because if you believed it in your heart, then the desire of your heart is going to begin to change. And the things of the world you're not going to like, and things of God you'll begin to like, because you'll be in His Word. And I ask you to get in His Word. Study His Word. Get in a Bible preaching church that preaches salvation and watches folks be saved and baptizes people. that they can enjoy the witness of people that have come by the Lord Jesus, and then they come, they are giving a testimony and a witness when they go down into the baptistry. This is what's happened in my heart, they're saying. I am a child of God, they're saying, and I'm beginning this walk. And it's also an opportunity for everybody around to see when they go into that water and go under the water. The old self is dying. Come out of that water, pictures that beautiful resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And that's a great and glorious day that we come to know Jesus and then follow Him, being obedient to be baptized and giving a witness and a testimony. And it should be the first of many opportunities we have to give a witness and testimony of our faith in Jesus Christ. Now, as we look to the Lord Jesus here, Paul can say, Christ Jesus, my Lord. Now you think about that the next time that you repeat that or you make that statement, the Lord Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus, my Lord. I hope that you look at that. Next time you sing a hymn that it has those words, I hope you look at your heart, my friend. Don't be claiming something that's not there. Don't be claiming something that's not there. We go on now in verse 9. Be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ. We have two steps here. We have the walk, and that is when you begin to call Jesus Lord, Master. And that means you're getting serious about it, my friend. You've come to Jesus by faith, and you've been saved, but now you're beginning that walk, and you're serious about that walk. You want to know His Word. You want to fellowship with other believers. You want to be in the right church where He wants you to be. You want to be a witness for Him. And you begin that walk. You begin that sweet walk. Well, as that comes, the result because of that, and we have Paul committing his life to Jesus. I want you to commit your life to Jesus. Now, we come to the next part, and it's faith of Christ. It's not by the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ. Now, if we look back to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says, Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Now, this is not a blind faith. This is a sweet, wonderful faith that we have. When we turn and believe the Word of God, begin that walk. First of all, we believe God when He tells us that we're lost and we're dying in our sin and we need a Savior, and that Savior is Jesus. That's our first step. But when that step is completed and you begin the walk then as a child of God, it's important that we walk by faith. Again, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now, hope is, boy, there's that word hope kind of scares people because I hope it's right. I hope that happens. When we look at the Word of God and we have promises of the Word of God that have not come to pass, but it's promises there that we have, and we will watch in our daily walk those promises being fulfilled. And so you see, that strengthens our faith because it begins by us looking into the Word of God, looking to God's living Word for our guidance and leadership. And as we walk each day and follow that, things begin to take place and come to pass. And we recognize and realize that Jesus is doing a mighty work in our life, is beginning to do work in other folks' life that we have had an opportunity to help them grow and bring them into the Word of God. The power's in the Word. God's Word. It's His living Word. It's as if we're speaking to Jesus. Jesus is alive. God is alive. We don't serve a dead God. We have a living God that we love and we serve and we honor and we worship. And this is His Word. And if you don't believe His Word, then you're in trouble. If you deny His Word, you're in trouble. And I'll back up one step, and that is if you deny His Word, do not call yourself a child of God. Do not call yourself a Christian if you deny His Word, because you have no right to. You must understand, know His Word. You must, as you study His Word and enjoy His Word, grow in His Word, you hunger for His Word, Don't deny His Word. Deny His Word, you're denying His power. You deny His power, you're denying His saving grace. You just as well say that God doesn't exist. And I hope that you don't say that. Because you could repeat that 1,000 times, and it would be 1,000 times wrong. You need to look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. By faith, trust in Him. It's real, my friend. It's true. It's right. Would you please trust in it today? Would you please believe in it today? And you will immediately begin to understand and to know that it is real and alive, and God is alive, and Jesus is real and alive, and His Word is alive and living. It's a joy to walk after Jesus, and we have that precious Holy Spirit indwelling us the day we truly come to Jesus. Faith, the faith of Christ. Please that you trust in the Lord Jesus and walk after the Lord Jesus. We also have His righteousness. We have 3 words there. Lord, we've talked about that today. We spoke of the faith through the faith of Christ. Oh, my friend, to believe in Jesus and to walk after the Lord Jesus. He gives us that faith. We're not walking blindly. We're not stumbling around. We are walking closely, step by step, in and with the Lord Jesus. The righteousness which is of God. He cleanses our life. He sets our life free, and it comes through the faith that we have in God, through the faith we have in the Lord Jesus, that we can walk each day and become more perfect. Now that doesn't sound right maybe to you, more perfect, closer to perfection. We'll never attain it. We'll never get there. We kind of get into that in the next verses here. That our life becomes cleansed, cleaned, scrubbed. We begin to change. We begin to walk a walk of righteousness in the righteousness of God, not in our own. It is not a self-righteousness. It is not a self-made righteousness. People build that up and believe that today, and that's not true. It's a lie. It's the righteousness of God. And we must, by faith, walk in God's Word, following His footsteps, and we have the sweet righteousness which is of God by faith. That's what the Word tells us. Look at that at the end of verse 9. Let me read now all of verse 8 and verse 9, then we'll continue. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. It is not our own, it's of God. And we can enjoy it by the faith we have as we walk each day. It's not a blind faith, it's a living faith, a God-given faith. So please begin this walk today, enjoying and walking after the Lord Jesus. Look at the result then in verse 10, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. Do you see why that you're going through these steps? That you may know Jesus. Many folks, again, attend church all of their life, are very faithful, have gotten all the full attendance awards that they could receive. But they're dead in their sin. Because they have not come by faith to Jesus. They have not trusted in the Lord Jesus. They felt it not necessary. Their church didn't preach it. Their preacher didn't preach it. And so they've ignored it. Maybe this is the second generation. Maybe a generation ago in your church, they preached salvation through the blood and by the blood and the death of the Jesus on the cross of Calvary. But now it's gone. Now it's no more. And so it's not necessary anymore. Have we gotten better? No, we've gotten more sinful. More wicked. There's never been a day that Jesus wasn't necessary. There's never been a day that you could ignore the cross of Calvary because there was no need. You must come to Jesus and be saved. And once you're saved, once you've started that walk, young or old, once you start, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His suffering, to live a life that is pleasing unto Jesus, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 17 through 20. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17 through 20. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ, when He raised Him from the dead, and set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places. Do you see the position that we hold as a Christian, as a born-again believer? In the past, we took a few minutes and talked about that you better be careful calling yourself a Christian if you're not Christ-like, and you can't be Christ-like unless you're born again, unless you've come by faith to Jesus. Well, also, you better be careful calling Him Lord, is what we discussed today. Don't call Him Lord unless you mean it. Bite your tongue. Stop saying those words unless you begin to mean it, and I hope that you change today and begin to mean it, because it's a great joy to call Him Lord. And to mean it, and the power that we have. And isn't this wonderful? In verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to His working of His mighty power. You see what we have in Jesus? Which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him on the right at His own right hand in heavenly places. I hope today you'll follow after verse 18. I'm back in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling. To know what is the hope of His calling. And what is the riches of the glory of His inheritance to the saints. Do you have the picture? Do you have the picture? Are you beginning to see? My friend, I want you to see Jesus. But you can't feel His power. You won't know His presence. You won't be able to use His strength unless you come to Jesus by faith and are saved. Now, my friend, we have talked about putting Him and making Him Lord of your life, that you may receive the power and the strength. We've talked about the faith of Christ, and we're set upon, according to Ephesians chapter 1, to be set in that faith and that power and that strength. And we have the righteousness, which is of God by faith. Verse 9, Philippians chapter 3. I hope you're not holding back. I hope you're ready to surrender and turn your life over to Jesus. I ask that you repent today and come to Jesus. I close with this sweet question each time. My friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?